The one thing that we are all searching for is contentment, right? We want to find a way to feel that rest, that place of just everything's going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And a lot of times we end up thinking joy is a part of that, or we think we should always be moving towards joy. And yet we miss these great riches that are in between in these spaces of trials where we can, we believe, find God's version of contentment in the mess. Well, that's what the topic of today's podcast is about with my friend, Nicole Jacobs-Meyer. We're going to be talking about this in detail. Nicole's going to be sharing some of the trials that she's gone through. And I know you're going to love this conversation. So let's go ahead and get started.
Welcome to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle, Bible teacher and life coach, and I help Christian women like you rediscover joy and find balance through a renewed mind and a life-changing connection with Christ. Friend, I am so glad that you are here. So find a cozy spot and let's get started on today's episode.
Welcome back to the Vibrant Christian Living Podcast. I am your host, Alicia Michelle. I am a Christian mindset coach. I'm a Bible teacher for women, and I am here to help you connect with God and discover simple mindset tools so that you can live with more joy, more confidence, more peace, and more contentment. And contentment is our topic for today. So I have a question for you. This is a question that I feel like there's a lot of pressure around. Do you feel content? Do you feel joyful? There's all this pressure to be contented, to be joyful, to not feel troubled by what's going on in the world. While I believe that we can rise above what happens around us, that God gives us the power to do that, today, my guest Nicole and I, we're going to talk about the gift of living in that in-between space where we can still find contentment and that we don't have to gloss over the difficulty to step into contentment. And honestly, that's where a lot of us live. We don't have the answers in a given moment. We are walking through difficult trials and we wonder, God, how can I find contentment? How can I find what it means to be joyful in all circumstances? So we're going to be talking about that today in this conversation. It's actually a really powerful conversation because she and I address some of these issues that keep us stuck in this little Christian bubble of how to understand contentment and some of the things we need to lean into instead in order to really discover that gift of contentment that Jesus has for us. So let me tell you a little bit about Nicole Jacobs-Meyer. She is a mom of four. She's a wife of 7 years to her husband, Andrew. And she has a passion for helping women walk in victory, in joy, in faith, in the face of trials, suffering, and sorrow. And she is a woman who's definitely familiar with suffering and sorrow. She's going to be sharing a little bit of her story here. So let's hear that story and that conversation now with Nicole. Hey, Nicole, thanks so much for coming on the podcast today. We're so glad you're here. And before we dive into this really important topic, can you share a little bit more about you and the work that you do with women online?
Yes, thank you. Oh, I'm so excited to be here. I haven't been on a podcast in a while, so this is such a joy. I've been just living the mom life.
And there you go.
Haven't been able to, you know, talk to adults all the time. So thank you so much for letting this be my little snippet of joy today. I'm a mom and a believer and a wife to a pediatric resident and a cancer survivor and multi-passionate entrepreneur. I kind of, you know, as women, we wear a lot of hats, right?
We do, definitely. Yeah.
So I started this whole blogging adventure just for fun in the midst of my husband's crazy job. And it kind of has morphed into a beautiful but difficult space at times. I think we all know how difficult social media can be. Right. But also the life-giving relationships and the opportunities and the witnessing and also, you know, the good parts of it I've been able to see too. So God has been at work in all of it. But I just have a blog and Instagram and, you know, just hang out on there.
You crack me up. She has a great blog. She has a wonderful Instagram with lots of great things. She's in the middle of writing a book, which we're going to get to in a minute, but so much goodness. But I love your heart. I mean, what, the way you're sharing it is just, it's your heart that I'm just here. God wants to work through me. He wants to share these stories and I'm here to share them. So that's awesome. And so that's Thank where you. I want to start today. Yeah. So today specifically, we're talking about finding contentment, finding godly confidence through trials. And I know you and I had had a few discussions on Instagram about this, and I was really excited to have you speak to the podcast audience about this because I know you have walked through some seasons. You've walked through some stuff, a lot of it happening at one time. So can you share a little bit about some of that? I know some of it's way in the past and we're not going to get into that, but just within the last few years, there's been some really big things that have, you know, truly could have rocked anyone's world and just how God has walked you through that.
I think it's important to mention that this wasn't my first set of trials, like right in a row. I think things would have been a lot different if they were. While I had a ton of hardships in the past, that was when I was, I wouldn't say a new believer because I quote unquote accepted Jesus in my life at very, very young age. But I didn't understand how to suffer well and the correlation between suffering and rejoicing and this connection of the cross and what Jesus has done and suffering together. Like, what does that even mean? What does it look like? And I think we hear that a lot, and I just didn't know how to do that back then. Right. Not that I did it great this round either, but
mastered now, girl. Going on about that.
It is a lifelong journey. Amen, that is for sure. Yeah. So I just recently, in the last couple of years, I had a miscarriage. It was our first miscarriage, and then we shortly found that we were moving across the country away from all of our family and friends, and then a few weeks later, I got diagnosed with cancer. And then 10 days later, we were on the road to our new city. So all of that was in a span of 2 months. And it was just like, I couldn't grieve the miscarriage. Yeah. And then I couldn't fully process leaving my friends and my family. And then all of a sudden, I was diagnosed with cancer. And we had this, you know, treatment and surgery and all of this in a completely new city. Wow. And I just felt so, I felt so alone and I almost felt cornered spiritually because I didn't have my, you know, I have these little kids, these, I had three little boys at the time and they were 5, 3, and 1. And I, you know, I'm the mom. I had responsibility. Yeah. And then my husband starting his first year of pediatric residency. Yeah. So he was slammed the day before I had surgery was his first day. So it was like,
oh my gosh.
I mean, it was like, how are you even supposed to do that? So I think as a planner, the planner in me was very just confused and frustrated, and I was just like, this is complete madness. Like, what in the world? So I think for me, going through all of that and now coming on the other side, I see a lot of God's hand in all of it now. Yeah. But if I'm being honest, in the moment, it's it was really hard for me to have that, like, oh, hope and joy and suffering for well. Sure. And I couldn't get there.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I just kind of, as an aside, what made me think of this while you were talking, I had just finished reading Man's Search for Meaning by Viktor Frankl, which I don't know if you've ever read that book, but it's a really old book. I mean, I just keep hearing about it over and over. And then I'm finally like, okay, God, I'm going to read this book. So I just finished listening to it this week. And the story is basically, just to sum up really quickly, Victor was in a concentration camp, but he was a psychiatrist beforehand. So what's interesting is he went through the whole experience, but then what he learned about the human condition because of that. And so that's what the book talks about. But one thing that I stood out when you're talking was that he mentions, especially in the American culture, and again, this was written back in the 50s, so even more so now, is that we continually want to be afraid. We're afraid of suffering, and we want to continually get to joy. Like, forget all of that. Like, our default should just be joy, period. If we don't have joy, there's something wrong with us. Mm. And that's so true, especially in the church. Like, well, of course we want joy, but there's a space and a time to grieve. Ecclesiastes says that. And there's a place that God is in all of those parts of life. And we, of course, God can bring us joy in every season. I mean, that's what your book's going to be about. But just still, like, how there's value. There's value in every season of life. So what would you say to that? Would you, it sounds like you're agreeing with it. So what do you think about that?
I mean, it's all in the process, and God is in every single step. And I think one of the most powerful things I learned was being able to come before the Lord as I was in my brokenness, in my questions. I mean, there's been times in my life where I have completely wanted to walk away, and I just could not understand. And I was wrestling with the Lord on really difficult questions, and I didn't get it, and it wasn't clicking for me. And so I think now, looking back on everything, being able to be authentic before the Lord and just completely honest and saying, here are my questions. I am broken. I am, my life is shattered into a million pieces. I have nowhere to turn. I have no one to turn to. I feel completely alone, and you need to help me, you know?
Right.
And just being honest about it. And there is so much freedom when we come before the Lord as we are. Mm-hmm. And I think we try to be in one of two boxes. We try to be, well, we just got to suffer well and be these like great godly Christians, you know? Yes, that's what we strive for, but in all honesty, that's really hard. And I mean,
and probably not honest.
Exactly.
And that's the thing. Yeah.
And I think because I'm a black or white person, I wanted to be in one of the two boxes. Like, you either are suffering well and you're smiling and you are just going to do this and it's going to be okay, or you're just like completely miserable walking away. But the sin is not the doubt. Doubting and wrestling is not the sin. The actual choice to walk away, the unbelief is the sin. And so I had belief the entire time, but I had so much it's just heartache. Like when you go through so much, you really start to question a lot. Sure. Just everything, really.
Of course. Right. It's almost like, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he didn't just blindly walk into the cross. There was a lot of emotion, tension, questions. God, how am I going to do this? I mean, we see some of that in the text, but it's implied that the fact that he was praying so passionately that there's literally blood coming out of his forehead.
Exactly.
He asks his friends to pray for him. He has to keep going back to God. I that really encourages me, that story about this, because it's like, here's a son of man, the son of God and the son of man, but he's wrestling, and he stays in the wrestling until God gives him that peace. And then he's like, all right, I'm ready. My betrayer's here. Let's go. Like, I'm ready. Yeah. You know, it's like, but that God is present in the suffering. God is present in the wrestling. God's present in the doubts. We miss that. And it's really hard for us to catch that sometimes, because like you said, there's not an example of that. People don't want to be honest about it sometimes.
Right.
It's not comfortable. And we're always trying to fix it. Like, oh, but you know, God will make it. God is going to do this.
Don't even get me started on all this.
Right? Right? And we're not, you know, well-intentioned in that, but it's like, that's so not what we want to hear. So what do you think about that?
I mean, I remember someone saying, well, so this was like in the middle of the cancer journey. And I remember somebody, I don't know if it was like directly said to me or if I heard it on a sermon, or I don't even remember what it was, but it was saying, you know, God is going to use this for your good and his glory. And I thought, if I die right now from everything that my body's going through, is that really for my good? Is that really for my kids', you know, and my husband's good? Is that really what God wants? Like, that is horrible. And it's like, yes, if that did happen, he would walk with my family and be with them and comfort them and give them strength and everything that they need to get through. But like, you think of those things, you know, like not everything in our life. Here's another thing. Sorry, I'm going off topic, but the people tell us all the time, like, to just have peace in the circumstances and to just give it to God and it'll all be all right. And it's like, it's so easy to say those things, but to actually live them out is a whole other story.
It is.
You know?
Yeah.
And I hate that people have to go through what they go through. And I hate that I've had to go through things and my family's had to go through things, but it's almost like we need to realize that it's in those worst moments and in that darkness that such light and understanding of who God is and actually growing in him in that like sweet spot of contentment actually lies. Yeah. Right. And we want to find it in other happy things.
Sure.
We don't want to find it in the hard stuff, but this connection of dying to ourselves and being completely opposite of the world.
Yeah.
And suffering for Christ with Christ is kind of like this idea that we need to tap into and not be, it's like we almost need to normalize trials.
Exactly. No, that's great. I agree.
You know,
because we don't, we're like we said, we're just trying to transition out of them. Like when I get through this, but what if this is it?
This
is the thing that you really need. I loved how you said you felt cornered spiritually. God needs to corner me sometimes too, right?
Exactly.
Like, how else does he get our attention? We're so distracted and busy. And we're just, if we look at him only as like, well, give me this and I need this and help me with this. Wow. Right. He sometimes is, he wants us to have the full life. He wants us to have the vibrant life. That's the whole point of my ministry is vibrant living. So, but that vibrant life doesn't necessarily mean everything always going my way.
Right.
It doesn't mean it.
Rarely does.
Very, very rarely. And we don't recognize that in the season. Of course, it's hard and we don't like it. It's just that comes later, but we have to be okay with the fact that it comes later and maybe we won't even understand all of it, but there's that trust and resting in him and surrender, all those things. Anyway, we could talk about lots of other things in that.
I know.
So one thing we mentioned before when we were talking on Instagram was this concept of finding as sustenance during these trials, miracles in the moment.
Yes.
So what has been your experience with seeing those, finding those, and letting God use those as literally your manna during those seasons?
Yeah. I think God used the smallest things, but also big things that I didn't really recognize until afterwards. The people that he brought into our lives to carry us through, I mean, was unbelievable. Because I started off, you know, feeling so alone, and then we just gained so many amazing friendships and so many people just stepping up and helping in every single way. I had people that I've never even met, you know, give us a meal or send us like help with the kids when I was confined in like our room. That's a whole part of the radioactive iodine treatment. I couldn't be around anyone. And so my husband was at work and I had to be confined, not around anyone because I was radioactive. And so my parents came and my husband's parents came and we had people that were here, but then we had to have some people fill in the gaps and people just stepped up through a friend of a friend of a friend and, you know, bringing gifts for the boys. I mean, it was just, it was unbelievable. So I think I saw that really carried me through in that time, like seeing people be the hands and feet of Jesus. And then
yeah,
I think just having kids was so life-giving. I love kids. I mean, don't get me wrong, they're a little stinker sometimes, but I adore my children. And I think kids just bring such life and joy that it's almost like I had to just take a deep breath and realize I'm still a mom. Mm. These kids are so little and I still have a responsibility to, you know, cultivate their hearts to love the Lord and to be emotionally stable during such a hard time. And so having almost having a responsibility to my family, even in the crazy, kind of helped me get through, I think, too. And, you know, then looking back, seeing, wow, thank you, God, that I had kids as these miracles and these crazy moments, and also family and friends and random people that just God used. I would say those were just huge game changers for us.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it really does, or maybe you can speak to this, how it helps with those questions of God, are you here with me? Mm-hmm. Do you know that I'm suffering? Do you know that this is hard? One of the things that we talk about in a community that I manage called the Connected Bible Community, one of the daily practices we do is recognizing God in his presence in our lives. It's sometimes we can think of it as gratitude, but really it's more than that. It's how did he show up in the last 24 hours? How did he give you a little wink, just something like, you know, a beautiful sunset, or like, I mean, obviously, and then those extreme times, friends bringing you meals that you've never met before, just little blessings that you're like, okay, he's still here. He's still with me. And I can get through this one moment at a time.
Yeah.
Just wanted to kind of go on what you were talking about before. We went through a season where I was really sick and almost lost my life. Those of you listening know that story of, and I won't go into it here, but that was about 3 years ago and everything in our life had to stop. Everything. I was homeschooling at that time. My husband had to take care of us. It was crazy. We also were walking through unemployment at that time. So it was like, he was unemployed, but again, God, because he didn't get that job that we thought he was going to get, that didn't come through right before all this happened with me. And if he'd been working there, it'd have been no way. But we had people like that too, show up out of the blue, just like, we need, you know, let me go to Costco for you. And we're like, what?
Okay.
You know, and we're like, here. Okay. We need milk. You know, and they're like, no, give us your list. Like, what do you, you're a your family of six. List. Like, what is your real list? You know? And we're like, I mean, that's just like that kind of love and action. It just, it floors you. You don't even know what to do with it because it's just pure God.
And are you the type of person that doesn't like to ask for help?
No. Yeah. That's me. I don't like
to ask for help. Yep. I know. And see, here we were having to receive and receive and receive. And that is so hard.
With no way of never knowing, like, could I ever repay this person?
Exactly.
Could I ever help this person? Like,
exactly.
People that we didn't even, again, we didn't even know. We were just, and we were just like, but of course, the Lord teaches you when you give to others in other ways. It doesn't have to be that person. You know, you're perpetuating the gift that was given to you.
Yep.
And we just, we look at giving and serving in a completely different way. God just revamped all of that for us after that experience. So anyway, that's kind of a side note on all of that. But
I love that.
Yeah. What, one thing we talked about before was that when we go through these things, we obviously have seasons that are more challenging, like the season you talked about. But then there's the kind of the after effects of it that can steal our contentment, where we're stuck in the what ifs of, well, what if, like you said, the cancer comes back? You mentioned that your husband is in his pediatric residency and he's gone a lot. Well, what if these hours never change? Yeah. So how have you learned about wrestling with those kind of continuing what ifs that steal contentment from you?
I haven't.
I love it.
I mean,
so awesome.
I will always be learning this because it is, it's one of those things that I can be doing really well. Mm-hmm. And then I know I have a scan or blood work or something that next week or that next month. And so leading up to that, I have a very hard time living in that season, or when I know that my husband's next rotation is going to be a lot of nights and where he's going to be gone constantly and we're not going to see him. Like it's weird because I'm not really an anxious person, but now because I've had so many difficult things that I've had to walk through in my, you know, over span of 20 years, 10 years, it's almost like I'm traumatized to trials. Like, I just don't want to go through anything else. And I know that we've been talking about, you know, suffering well and all of that. And I do want to get there, but I still think it's fresh for me because it's been so recent and I still have, you know, blood work every month. I just had my last scan like a few months ago. Like, there's always, I'm still there. And so I think the biggest thing just lately is almost not thinking about it and not getting so worked up about tomorrow and really living for today. And I know that's easier said than done. And I know that seems like so simple, but I do think that things can be simplized, you know, simplified. Is that a word?
Simplified.
Simplified.
We know what you're talking about. Yeah.
Simplified. And I do think that we can just live in that simple obedience and live for today only so that we don't get so worked up about, oh my goodness, what's the next trial going to be? And oh my goodness, what is my scan going to show? And is my husband going to get the job? And, you know, all these things. Yeah. Because that can just drive you crazy.
It can. Right. And that's, I love your honest response to that you're like, I don't know. I think that the only way that we ever learn these things is literally God putting us in those situations and us walking through, and then we gain the wisdom. But I was just going to say that I think it's a lie that of the enemy that we think, well, like if you were to somehow get some scan that told you were 100% cancer free for the rest of your life, you would never have to worry about it again.
Right.
There would be something else that would come up.
Always.
So the lesson isn't like, how do I avoid the suffering? How do I stop worrying about it? There's going to always be something to worry about. There's always going to always be something to be anxious about. So the lesson is God showing in front of us, how can you walk through this well? How can you manage your thoughts in a different way? That's my passion and area, is managing thoughts with anxiousness and negative thoughts and stuff like that. So I could go on for hours about that, but that's like, how do we deal with that versus running from it and being like, I don't feel it, or when it's over, I won't have this issue anymore. And again, it's a new place to come to our knees before God and say, I don't understand. I don't get this. Like you were saying, like, it's still fresh and new. It's like the battle wounds are still there and we feel weary of it. We're like, I don't want anymore. I'm done. Like, haven't I learned this lesson? I'm finished. But letting him show us again, he's still got us. He still loves us. We can still find contentment. Now, let's talk about this contentment, because I think this is so interesting. Contentment, I've been thinking about this lately, doesn't have to mean joy. Mm-mm. I think contentment can just literally be an acceptance of what is. Actually, I have a little card on my desk. I'm going to read what this definition is of contentment. Here, contentment is an awareness of sufficiency, a sense that we have enough and we are enough.
Yep.
There's lots of things that it says. Contentment allows us to experience satisfaction with what is. It doesn't obstruct our dreams or thwart our purpose. It's our place to stand and view the future with a peaceful heart and gratitude for all that is. So it's not saying that contentment is like, oh, I'm totally fine with the fact that I'm struggling with. I'm totally fine that no.
Right.
I'm not happy that this is going on, but I'm content. I'm stuck in that place where God is protecting me. So what do you think about that?
I think for me, being content is intertwined for sure with joy. Mm-hmm. Because joy and happy are different. So different. Mm-hmm. But I think for me, being able to look back and remember God's faithfulness and his true character helps me in those moments to be more content. It's almost like I have to get in this mindset of, okay, yes, live for today. Yes, you know, not try to focus on this next scan, this next thing, you know, this next trial, but just today, what can I do today? What does God have for me today? And also when those anxious thoughts come up, or you can feel your heart just beating extra fast and you're getting nervous about the next thing, just saying, okay, who is God? Who am I in him? Who is he in me? And what has he already done? Like he says he's gone before us, behind us, and with us. Like, what does that mean? It sounds great, but he is not only walking through these things with us, but we have to remember his faithfulness that has already gone before us and that we've already had in our lives, and seeing that thread of Jesus for however many years that you've been a believer, you have to go back to that and remember, or else your future is going to look so daunting. It's like you have to have that foundation
exactly
in order to go forward.
Right.
That contentment.
That's that word foundation I was thinking too. And I think just focusing on what's helped me a lot with this area is focusing on, like you said, the character of God. But something that someone I'd heard a couple months ago has been staying with me, that nothing can change the character of God. Nothing can make God love me more or love me less. Nothing can make God change how he feels about me and how he relates to me. And so if that's true, then it doesn't matter what I'm going through. It doesn't matter how I feel even about how I'm going through.
Exactly.
That his treatment of me is constant and it's the same.
Yes.
So going back to, well, if he loves me and he accepts me and he's given me new life and he's good, all, you know, doing good things for me, then I don't have to understand it. Again, that sounds so cliche, but it's like you get to that place where you're like, the foundation is his character, period. That's it. And so that's it. Like, it's not going to change. So I'm good with that. And I have to stay there.
And until you walk through so many trials, it's hard to get to that place of almost resolve, knowing that God's not against you. He's not out to get you. He's not this like, everything we go through isn't personal, you know? And I think we take things so personally, like, why did you allow this? It's like, well, girlfriend, life is really rough sometimes and there is sin everywhere. So, you know, and I had to remind myself of that a lot of times of, okay, Nicole, why are you making this about you? You know, woe is me. Oh my goodness. I'm going through something so hard. And it's like, well, it's just life. Like, it doesn't have to have this rhyme or reason and spiritual significance. Like sometimes, and you know, y'all can disagree, which is great, but I mean, sometimes it doesn't have to be this like big explosion of spiritual, what we can learn and what we have to walk through and all these serious things. Sometimes it's just hard things happen. We go through rough things, and it doesn't mean, like you said, it doesn't change God's love or character or anything. And I think at least I was very me-centered through it in many ways. Yeah. That was one of my biggest downfalls, I think, is just like the questions I was asking were just so immature. Like, God, really? Why would I ask those things if I didn't? But it's because I didn't have a, you know, solid foundation of understanding that he wasn't going to change.
Yeah, but it's like that sifting that happens.
Yeah.
How else were we to find out that we don't have these foundations that we want until we go through it? And he has to show us in his very loving, kind way that that's what, again, floors me, is that it's not that he's, like you said, sitting in heaven torturing us. This one next, you know, he's not doing that. There is a gift. There is a gift in suffering that is not an easy gift to get, but it's a gift that's there, but we can only get it if we lean into the suffering. Like the image that comes to me sometimes with suffering is, and you can be, you're familiar with this too, with labor, with birth.
Yep.
Natural childbirth, having to bear down on that pain. You don't, you don't feel that pain and run from it. You obviously it's not, it doesn't feel great. It hurts. It hurts, but you're working with it. Yeah. I remember our midwife told me once, in labor, she, with our second son, she said, I want you to think about opening like a flower, working with it. This is bringing your baby into the world. Work with your body, giving it. And I thought so many times after that, like God is allowing this to happen. The enemy plans it for evil. God uses it for good. And he allows it to happen so that I can lean into it. So lean into it, Alicia. Don't be stiff and like, oh, this hurts. You know, like with labor, like you have to relax into it, let your body do the work. And it's like, oh, okay, you get through it. But that's powerful, I think.
That's a great reminder. Mm-hmm. I love that you have to do the leaning in order to get the gift.
Yes.
And you have to put in that work.
Right.
And I mean, really, who wants to put in work when you're going through the worst, you know, days or months of your lives? Like, no one's like, okay, I'm ready.
Put more work in, right?
Right. Like, this is so great. I just am going to put in the work. And, but because I couldn't stand it when I heard that. It's like, you know, all the things to do.
Yeah.
And you know that God is working and you know that he is good and you know that he's faithful. And sometimes it's just okay to just sit and have a bad day.
Exactly.
Just say,
yeah, I agree.
Man, this is rough.
Sure. Yeah, I think so. Why not?
Yeah.
Because we don't have to, like you said, it's not about moving instantly to the next spiritual cloud. It's just about, this is real. And you know what? It's not all going to be resolved today, probably. And that's okay.
Yep. Tomorrow's a new day. His mercies are new every day.
Yes.
Let's do this, you know, in a couple hours.
Yes. Well, something that I know I wanted to close on is you are going to be writing this book and you're in the middle of writing this book about cultivating joy in trials. And so what are some words, we don't want to steal any of what you're writing, but what are some things or truths that you can share that would be helpful for women to understand that difference of living in suffering, finding joy, finding contentment in all of it? What other things would you share about that?
Oh, that's good.
It's real simple, right? You can just like,
yeah, I mean, let me just read my book.
It's a huge topic, right?
I think, just touching on all of these things that we've talked about, and two things that I would constantly remind people of is the freedom that you have when you come as you are.
Yeah.
Not the perfect, not the, you know, striving for whatever makes you feel better about yourself, but knowing that Jesus is the prize. And even looking past the temporary gift on earth that we will have while going through trials, like, oh, cancer free. And I have so much more wisdom and understanding and I'm closer to the Lord, while all those things are exactly what we want. And so good. I think we have to always remember that Jesus is the actual prize. Like him speaking on our behalf before God the Father, and as desperate and undeserving and broken people, realizing like what he has done for us. And I can get so emotional just like thinking about all the things that Jesus does for each of us to get us to that place of joy and contentment and resolve. He doesn't have to.
Right.
And that's what's like so beautiful, is he doesn't have to work all things out for your good. He doesn't have to draw you to himself. He doesn't have to heal you or give you babies or give you that job or, you know, whatever it is. Like, he doesn't have to do anything for us. He doesn't owe us anything, you know? Exactly. And I think recognizing like the actual gospel of who Jesus is and why we're even here is the biggest foundation and thing that we need to understand before we can face those next trials or those great joys and blessings. And it does start with coming before the Lord as you are. And that's been so freeing for me. And I think the other thing too is not playing the victim and walking in the victory that God has given.
That's true.
Because I know for myself, I did that and it was, did not go well for me when I was, you know, doing this, woe is me, oh my goodness, and asking the dumb questions, and which it's fine to, you know, you're being honest before the Lord. So you're going to have dumb questions. But I think for me, just realizing coming out of it and saying, oh my goodness, this is the victory, the contentment, the joy, the strength that God has given each of us as undeserving and broken, and living in that humility, but also that holiness and
this,
like, brokenness, but also this strength, and finding that balance of knowing who we are in our place, but also remembering who He is in His place. And that carries you through.
Yeah. Well, that's so well said. And I just think about the word rest kept coming to me as you were talking, just that we're resting in His character. We're resting in what He has done. We're resting in the joy of, like you said, Him not having to do any of this for us, but He chose to out of His love for us. And that He chooses to walk with us in it. Just resting in that, not having the answer, is okay. It's okay. And that we can have the contentment and the rest because it's okay. It's going to come. It's all good. Eventually.
Eventually.
She had this picture in her house. She had 8 kids. And I always laughed that this was her picture in her house. It was a sign that said, everything will work out okay. Not today, but eventually.
Yeah.
And I thought, that's so true.
That's so good. I need
that. Isn't that good? Right? I know. Because I was like, oh man, that's so true. And that, but we want it to be fixed now. But again, in the fixing, in the healing, in the release, that's the beauty. That's the gift. That is the pearl of great price, right? It's Jesus himself.
Yep.
And seeing Him as real. So,
and remembering His love for you, you know, that is, sometimes we just feel so unlovable and just broken and awful and whatever about ourselves that it's like, okay, that's great. I'm glad you're humble about it, but now you can, you know, walk in this victory and this love. And
where do you want to dwell?
So much powerful.
Maybe that's the good word to say it. Like, you know, being honest with what we feel, but then pivoting and acknowledging it is super important. Why? Yep. It makes sense why I feel this way. As we talk about all the time in coaching, makes sense I feel this way, but all right, where are we going to live? Right. We're going to live in self-pity or are we going to move forward into victory?
And that process is different for everybody.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, some people take a longer time. Some people don't. Like, it's just, everybody's different. That's why you just can't look to the right or the left. You got to eyes on Jesus.
Amen. Amen. This was so awesome, Nicole. Well, thank you for all you've shared. So tell our listeners, where can they find out more about you? Any resources that you might have to encourage women in this area?
Oh yeah. You can go to NicoleJacobsMeyer.com. That's kind of where everything is. That's like the hub. Or you could go to Instagram, and I'm Nicole.JacobsMeyer on there. And I'll just be sharing along the way. So any of those, and definitely come say hi. I try to go through every single message I ever get on Instagram, which sometimes is a little far-fetched, but come say hi.
That's awesome. Yes. No, I love that you're approachable. You're fun. You have great wisdom from God. As we know, it's hard fought. It's hard fought wisdom.
Yeah.
So thank you again for sharing today.
Thank you.
We're so glad you've been here. Yes. One of the things that I was really grateful for in that conversation was her openness and honesty about the thing that we all do when somebody's going through something difficult, or we say, well, God's going to work this out for your good and it's all going to be okay and there's a purpose for it. And of course, those are true statements. Of course, they're true. But in the moment, they don't feel so nice. They don't feel so true. And that we can be okay with the fact that we're sometimes less than happy about the situation we're in, that our emotions are important to God, that being aware of all of it, it doesn't necessarily mean anything about the depth of our own faith. God wants us to come to Him and say, I'm feeling like this. This really is hard. Please, please help me. That God is present in the suffering. And that in order to find contentment, joy doesn't necessarily have to be there. And that there's that difference between joy and happiness, that happiness is a state of feeling good and liking what's around us. But then joy is this deeper satisfaction. And I, again, as we talked about in our conversation, I argued that we can feel confident even without joy, and that joy doesn't have to be something we're always trying to operate under and push ourselves to, that there is a season for all things. God is with us in every season. So really, the main thing that I took from that conversation was every season is an opportunity to grow in Christ, an opportunity to see ourselves for where we're at, and to say, to realize again that the foundation that everything we do is based on His character. So if we're struggling, to come to Him, to be real with Him about it, and to find that contentment as a base to start in who is God, what is He about, what is His love for me like? And so that's what I wanted to make sure that you were aware of, this amazing resource that I've created. I've gotten great feedback from it. It's actually the very first month that we study in the Connected Bible Community. It is a Bible study on love. It's called I Am Loved. It's a 4-week Bible study and course. So there's video teachings along with the Bible study itself. And it goes through the different aspects of God's love for us. And I know that you're probably familiar with the aspect or the concept that God loves you. But my question to you is do you really live from that surrendered place of understanding it? And I think most of us don't. We understand it from this churchy theological standpoint, but has it gotten into a place in our heart where we are operating from it, and we view our circumstances through it, and we serve and give from that perspective? It's a life-changing encounter with God's love that I know is something we all desperately need. And the great thing about God's love is that we are always able to grow deeper in it. We never reach the end of exploring what it means to go into God's love. So I wanted to make sure you knew about that resource. You can get that resource at the Vibrant Christian Living website. So you would go to vibrantchristianliving.com/I-M-loved. So I, not the letter M, A-M, the word am, I am loved with the dashes in between. So that is how you can find that Bible study. And I pray that if you came out of this feeling like, I just need that assurance, that confidence in God's love, I need to know beyond a shadow of a doubt in my head and my heart that I'm loved by God, as a way to help me be able to let go and to share what I'm really worried and stressed about, and to say, I hate this, I don't like this, I need that confidence, then this study is a really great resource for you. So I hope you can check it out. vibrantchristianliving.com/I-M-loved. Friends, have a great rest of your week. I've been loving all these great conversations we've been able to have the last few weeks, and I look forward to next week's conversation. I'll see you then. Bye.